97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
They call my plan Bidenomics. Guess what?
It's working.
I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
I do not hate anyone. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
You know, we're going to have to change some of these up pretty quick, no matter who wins this election. I'm going to miss that one from Senator Kennedy for sure, because he's one of my favorites. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're all back together here for a Monday edition of the show. I know Sue had off on Friday as well. How are you?
I'm well. How was your day off?
It was good. I'll give you the deer hunting update here in a second as we all gather here in the studio. Fred is here. Did you survive Friday, Fred?
I did. Ryan Recker and I were here. Ethan was here.
Did you do Sue's News on Friday?
I did.
Nice.
Good. Thank you, Fred.
Fred gets really excited when we're not here. We all love it when the team is not together. But unfortunately, so, you know, here's what happens. I'm going to tell you. I know my audience. You're my audience. Fred is my audience. So I sent Fred a picture. I did not send you a picture from the woods with Alexa. But I had to take Friday off because I totally screwed up the dates. And there was this special deer hunting doe only weekend in many counties across the state. I don't think it was statewide, but Howard County, where I hunt, it certainly applied. And my hunting mentor and dear friend Kevin Yeager has lots of grandkids, and they do this youth hunt in a few weeks, but the grandkids are kind of there at the farm for that. So he was very generous in affording Alexa the opportunity to come up on Friday and Saturday, if needed, to try to shoot a deer. Now, I want to mention this, Sue. I've never pushed this at all. I brought my daughter to deer camp for, I don't know, 5 years at this point. She loves it. She gets to play with the kids. She's never been risk averse to the blood and guts. And she's the one that earlier this year said, I want to shoot a deer this year. I said, okay. And I didn't believe it. And I kept not believing it until what happened this weekend. So she's been kind of the driving factor of all this. And my friend who I mentioned, I've hunted with him for three decades now, and he and his group of friends were very generous. I was the last person that was grandfathered into their deer camp that's not a family member, because now you have sons-in-law and stuff like that. So I'm real close with the Yeager clan, and Kevin loves working with kids. So anyway, Alexa shot the gun a few weeks ago. We get out into Howard County on Friday. We go into the deer stand about 3:30. By about 4:30, she says, why couldn't we have just gotten into the deer stand at 4:30 if we're going to be here until 6:30? Because she's kind of a thinking person. And it's tough to be in a deer stand when you're not seeing a lot, yeah. Sue, if you're a little kid. But she paid her dues. And here's what happened. We saw one deer on Friday afternoon, and it was right as it was getting to dark. So it was probably around 6:30. Now, as I mentioned, you can't shoot bucks, right? It was a doe-only season. We had a really, really nice shooter buck. If Dad sees him from this location in a few weeks, I don't think I'm going to let it go. But it sat and taunted us for like 7 or 8 minutes, just looking at us. It kind of was almost, it's like they know. And for those people who hunt out there, you know what I'm talking about. Because he's just looking at us. He knew we were there, and the gun is, you know, kind of sticking out the stand and just munching on some grass and some wheat and stuff like that, and then finally decided to walk away. So Alexa's got the sights on it, and she even says something like, oh man, I could get this one. I'm like, yeah, well, you can't. So nothing happened. Then we go in on Friday night. We get up Saturday morning. I wish I was going to make the next part of this story up, but I'm not. It's 6:15 on Saturday morning. We're about to walk into the woods, and my daughter, before we leave the cabin, has to do her skincare. She's 9 and a half. She's got skincare that she's doing at 6:15 before she... Yeah, Fred, you look confused right now. I don't know how to explain that any better than she's got these lotions and stuff. I don't know why she needs this, but her and her friends are doing... Of course not.
Of course.
So she does her skincare. We get out
there.
Yes. Well, I told Jane that story today. She goes, I should have done that when I was 9. I'm like, no, I don't think it really matters. I think that, you know, she'll be fine. But this is her thing right now. So we get out there, and there was lots of action on Saturday morning. First thing we saw was another buck kind of, you know, slinking across the field. And then we saw some does, and she was able to shoot at one that we thought she hit, and I think she might have missed on that one. And then the second time, she actually got a little button buck. You can shoot a button buck because you can't tell if it's a buck. It's got little nubs on its head, and we tend to avoid to do that if you can help it, because then it doesn't grow into a big buck. But she got her first deer on Saturday in Howard County, and I was very proud of her. She did great. She would not allow us to do blood on her cheeks. I was a little disappointed in that for her first year.
Good.
A skin treatment.
Good for her.
Well, that would have been an extra skin. Oh, come on, Sue. You know, you can have a little fun with it. She probably would have done it if we would have pushed it a little bit more.
When you sent me the picture, my first response was, you know, well, congratulations, but how did she react? Because I thought maybe there'd be like some remorse or some like, ooh, I really didn't want to do this.
No, she was great. She, you know, this is what I think a lot of people, and I'm not trying to tell anyone out there that you should do this if you don't want to hunt, but if you've never, you know, tooled around on a four-wheeler looking for raccoons that you've trapped, you really are depriving yourself of a lot of fun in life, because that's the type of thing that we did after we hunted. She's been great around all this stuff. She didn't want to shoot the raccoon that was in the trap, and I, you know, give her credit for that. But I'm happy because, and this is nothing against my childhood. My mom and dad might be listening here this afternoon, but I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago and then the suburbs of St. Louis, West St. Louis County. I may have fished a couple of times with like a cane pole or something like that. I never was in the outdoors outside of the farm that I worked on when I was a kid in Aurora, near Aurora, Illinois. So I've taken my kids to Howard County, exposed them to some fun stuff outdoors now for years. My boys never really took to it, and that's fine too. But she really is. And I think there's something to be said for this, because it would be my wish that you'd have more people out there that it could at least could experience what happens on a weekend like that. Because it's not just about killing and shooting the deer. Okay, there's a lot more to it. And those of you who hunt and you have deer camps out there, you know exactly, you know, what goes on. And then we also, you know, fill the freezer. And I made some delicious deer tenderloins on the grill, soaked in teriyaki last night, wrapped in bacon. It was delicious. And then I tried to bring it was a pretty small deer, but I'm trying to make some sausage because that's what Alexa likes. And I tried to go to G&W off of Kings Highway today, and they're closed on Monday. So
it's a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't
but I don't think
Columbus
a lot of
Day?
I don't think a lot of stores would close down for Indigenous Peoples Day, would they?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
You know, when I was driving into work today, I heard them on the radio say, "And if we're, you know, the holiday today," and I stopped for a second. I thought,
"What
am
holiday?
I going into work on a holiday?"
All right,
I did this wrong.
My son, who's the teacher in Chicago, he has today off. We get Veterans Day off in a few weeks, but we don't have today off. This is pretty good. I think it was Libs of TikTok who put this up on their site on Twitter. And I retweeted this earlier. Columbus is evil. He stole the land. Therefore, we no longer celebrate him. Instead, we celebrate Stone Age tribes that ate people, sacrificed children, and stole the land as well. Right? That's what we do now in this country. By the way, listen to Kamala on Indigenous Peoples Day. This is great, too, because I want more of this stuff to get out there.
People did not want to deal and accept and, most importantly, admit that we are the scene of a crime when it comes to what we did with slavery and Jim Crow and institutionalized racism in this country.
Yeah, and then she gets to the Indigenous Peoples Day, and I don't know how that's playing for Kamala right now, because things are not going well for her in the polls. Now, who watched Saturday Night Live? Fred, did you watch it over the weekend?
I did not, no.
Sue, did you see it?
No, but is it too much to hope that we'd have two funny shows in a row?
No, and I think I did not pay attention to what happened last, because I think they did some of this last Saturday as well. But they did it again, the cold open. I was watching football yesterday and thought, you know what, I'm going to have to see what they did. So during one of the half times, I pulled it up, and it was pretty good. Now, the one thing that I will tell you is it's almost like a tale of two comedy bits to a certain extent. Let me see if I can play this, because now I can't find it in here. Fred, do you know what I labeled that by any chance? Or is Ethan out there? Because I cannot find anything that says Saturday Night. There it is. Okay. This is only a small sample of it, right? And what they did here is, I got it. Don't worry about it. They did the, have you ever seen them do the Family Feud?
Yeah. Oh, I love Family Feud. Okay. Please tell me Keenan was
the
host.
So you had Keenan as the host. And then I don't know who the guy is that's playing Trump. He's awful, right? Then they had somebody playing Donald Trump Jr. I think it was Mikey Day. That's his name. And then they had the Asian dude on there, who's not funny at all, playing J.D. Vance. And it just doesn't work at all. Now, on the other side of the feud, they have Maya Rudolph playing Kamala. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's hard to tell the two apart, quite honestly. Andy Samberg playing Doug Emhoff, her husband. Really, really good. Gaffigan back as, you know, Walls, and he was great. And then Dana Carvey just killing it again as Biden.
Okay, one 400 people surveyed. Top.
Hang on a second here. Something is happening to my audio today, and can you even hear that? I don't know what's going on. Unfortunately, Ethan was in here during the previous show, and I got audio that's not at proper levels whatsoever. So I think I'm going to have to fix that and see if I can play it to you later, because that I cannot hear. Could you hear that?
A little.
Okay.
A little.
Should I try it again?
Yeah, try to boost it.
All right, let's see here.
Okay, 100 people surveyed, top 6 answers on the board.
No, I can't hear that. No, that's terrible. All right, so I don't know what's going on with that. I'm going to have to figure it out, unfortunately. But we'll move along here, and I'll get to some other stuff, and hopefully we can fix that here in a little bit. We got Jeff Murdoch coming up here. He is the White House correspondent for the Washington Times, and we're going to hook up with him and see exactly where we might be with this race right now. I have there's a couple of things that I want to do after Sue's News this afternoon, and I haven't decided which one to do because I was, and I don't often do this, Sue, but I was watching football yesterday. I wasn't as engaged in some of the games, so I started popping around maybe some of the work that I usually would do on a Monday morning, and I found two columns that were fascinating. One of them was from a former mentor, of mine, and one of the guys that really treated me very well in Milwaukee. His name is Charlie Sykes. Now, Charlie became one of the lead never-Trumpers in the nation. He started a publication. He quit talk radio. He was in Milwaukee for a long time. Did a television show that I also was a guest on, and Paul Ryan and Ryan Priebus, and I hosted that show when Charlie wasn't there. And he was a staunch conservative talk show host in Milwaukee for decades, like one of the biggest names in Milwaukee. There's another guy named Mark Belling who still does it as well. So in the spring of 2016, Sykes interviewed Trump. He had Trump, Wisconsin, big state, obviously, then. He won it, ended up winning it, Trump. But Charlie actually pushed back and asked him some pretty hard questions, and those questions went viral. And Sykes made it very apparent from the very beginning that he didn't like Trump. He didn't like anything that it was all about. Now, Charlie Sykes has always described himself as a reformed liberal because back when he was younger, he was a lefty. Then he became conservative. And I'm not criticizing his career track because he's been very successful. But what happened yesterday afternoon is I saw a column that he wrote on the Bulwark. And it's all about, this is what the Never Trumpers do. It's like, Trump's a fascist. He's a fascist. Fascism. Like, stop it. Okay? Would you guys stop it? It's ridiculous. So then on the other side of the equation, I'm popping around. I see a column from Sasha Stone. I've told people about Sasha before. And this was like, both of these columns could not be more aligned in a certain way, but more opposite one another. Because Charlie was a conservative when I knew him. And had a big, big, strong conservative voice in Wisconsin for a long time. And Sasha Stone, someone who I knew a little bit out in L.A., had this website, which is an Oscar Academy Awards handicapping site. And it's called awardsdaily.com. And she was rabidly left, hated George W. Bush, hated everything about Republicans. But then something weird happened after 2016. And this is in the era of the Twitter files and Matt Taibbi and some of the other things that went on there with Mike Schellenberger exposing the nonsense that went on, in particular with some of the social media sites. And that's what Taibbi turned into the Twitter files. And Sasha has done exactly the same thing that Charlie Sykes has done, but in the complete opposite direction. So while the one side, the Never Trumpers, are like, oh, and this is like, you got to keep in mind that this is the Liz Cheney crew, okay? And Liz Cheney just makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. If she doesn't like Trump, that's fine, okay? There's a lot of people that don't like Trump. Keep your big flap shut. She's out there campaigning for Kamala Harris? No. We have no room for that. It's one thing you want to sit it out. You don't like Trump, but she's an embarrassment. And this is what the Never Trumpers have kind of become. They really have. Now, Sasha, on the other hand, and I'll read from some of her column either today or tomorrow, couldn't be more fearful of what's actually happening out there and the way that, you know, media clamped down on this information that they claim was misinformation. A lot of it's because of COVID. I mean, this kind of came full circle for a lot of these people that were more libertarian on the left. I think I would put Sasha in that category. I certainly put Bill Maher in that category as well. But they were horrified, and justifiably so, about some of the things that we did as a government during, you know, that period of the pandemic. All right. I think I still have we got a couple of new ones. Are those new, Ethan, or are they not?
It's louder now.
All right, let's see if it's the same cut. Let's see if we can get to it here.
Okay, 100 people surveyed, top 6 answers on the board. Name something that you keep in your glove compartment. Oh, BP Harris.
Steve, look. I was raised in a middle-class family.
Right? Oh, here we go.
Perfect.
My mother raised my sister and me, mm-hmm. All right? Yeah. She worked hard. and saved up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we had a second mother, too.
Okay. Did that mother have a glove compartment?
A small business owner named Miss Shelton.
Okay, we got that. Something that you keep in your glove compartment.
Oh, a Glock, Steve. A big old Glock.
So that was the number two answer. Now, I don't know if I have the second clip, so I don't think I do. So then Doug Emhoff, Andy Samberg, we have to find this. Ethan's going to find it. We'll do it for Audio Cut of the Day. What do you keep in your glove box? He says a second gun, and that was the number one answer. It was actually pretty funny. That's the number one answer. So then they get to Walsh here, Jim Gaffigan.
Let's go over to Tim Walsh. Okay, something that you keep in your glove compartment.
This is right in my wheelhouse, in my glove box. I got hot hands, napkins from Runza, and gotta have Tums in case I eat something spicy like tomato.
If you say so, show me some white nonsense.
Show me some white nonsense. So it was, but I told Ethan to pull some of the stuff on the other side because it wasn't funny at all. The audience was laughing hysterically. I, as an audience member at home on my couch, was laughing by myself in my living room out loud at that bit. But then they go to the Trump side and it was just flat. How they don't understand how uneven it is. And then here's the other thing about this. How would you like to be like a current cast member? The only two current cast members they had in that whole thing, well, I guess Keenan is, right? Yeah. But the dude playing J.D. Vance, the Asian dude, have no idea who he is, and Mikey Day. Everyone else in there is not a cast member, and they're better than the current cast members.
Of course.
So they're bringing back veteran funny cast members, people who actually make people laugh, Lorne Michaels. And aren't you kind of exposing to the country that your current cast sucks ass in a way?
A little bit.
I think so. Anyway, we'll get more of that audio to dazzle you with. I got a bunch of other stuff here. We got Jeff Murdoch from the Washington Times coming up. Hang in there, Monday edition of the show. Monday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. We're all back together. Sue will have Sue's news in the next hour. I'll have, I just told you about these two columns, but there's also some really, really good audio from Bill Maher's show where he just, Sue, I'll ask you a question. I don't think, maybe you don't know who this person is, but she's become very popular with the kids out there. Chapel Roan, you know who she is?
Yeah, the singer.
Yeah, okay, so you know who she is.
Uh-huh.
All right, I don't know how many people knew her, but she did something that caught Mr. Maher's attention, and he smacked her down so good it was almost unfair. And I'll get to that. That's kind of lengthy audio, so I need some time for that. We have Cusumano coming up this afternoon as well. The Tigers won on Saturday. They needed to. That was good. Oh, Illinois ended up winning in sort of miraculous fashion over the weekend, which is always good if you can do that. I think they won because they were playing Purdue. I was back and forth. Now I'm second-guessing that, Sue, because my brain is not functioning. But
that's fair.
Purdue, as I remember it, Purdue went for two, and they didn't get it. It was overtime, and the Illini escaped with a victory. But Frank will be here at 4:45. We got Andy Puzder in the 5 o'clock hour talking about the economy, plus an audio cut of the day and war. Right now, Jeff Murdoch is back with us, White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how are you? Welcome back. Happy Monday to you.
How are you? There's kind of a cross feed going on. Now I think I can hear you.
Is it better now?
It's much better now. Yeah, there was like another audio going on, but you sound perfectly clear.
Okay,
so, but
yeah, well, it's a Monday, and I'm discovering that there's some little kinks that we're working out here on this Monday afternoon. So how are you doing? And let me get your opinion on just this. I addressed this in the monologue. So we learned today that Kamala Harris is going to sit down for an interview with Bret Baier from Fox. That doesn't make sense to me if you're a Harris supporter or running her campaign. How is that a win potentially for her?
Well, it's a win potentially for her because I think she knows that her campaign is starting to fall into problems.
Yeah.
I don't want to go say the wheels are coming off. It might be a little too premature to say that, but she's running into a lot of problems. And this is a move you do when your internal polling says you're behind and you need to reach out and you need to do something different. And that's how I read this, that I think the internal polls are a lot worse than what we're seeing, and she feels she needs to throw out a Hail Mary, and this is what she's going to do.
It's my sense that one of the problem areas right now, I mean, Pennsylvania is where I think even both candidates are today, so we know how important, you know, Pennsylvania is. But look, there's polling, and you've probably seen it, Jeff, out of Wisconsin and Michigan, that probably has those Democrats pretty worried, not only about which way the state's tip in the presidential race, but in those two important Senate races as well.
That's exactly right. And if she's, and this is true of any candidate, especially with the vice president, if they're starting to struggle, you're going to start to see that struggle go down ballot. That just happens regardless of candidates, and we're starting to see her struggle, and the Democrats are starting to panic because they know that's going to influence down ballot. And it's amazing to see a short span just to kick off, just to click off a couple of things we've seen in the past 48 hours that are showing that the wheels are starting to come off. They sent Clinton down to Georgia. Nobody knew who he was. Then he accidentally, you know, basically condemns the Biden-Harris immigration policy. You've got this plagiarism scandal that's brewing, which is going to flock everybody else to look at everything she's ever written. You've got polling coming on that's showing that Trump is starting to pull ahead of her in some swing states. I mean, this is a campaign that really starting to show a lot of problems right now.
So, Jeff, you mentioned, let me play the audio from Bill Clinton, who's down there, and he's wearing the camo, you know, Harris Walls hat, talking about immigration.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Two observations. One, Bill Clinton looks about 15 years older than he really is. Two, he goes on to say, I should point out, he does go on to say, look, if they would have fixed this, you know, in Congress, we wouldn't have issues like this. People would be better vetted. But you can't tell me, Jeff, that that's not going to be flipped around what he said right there and put in a campaign ad for Trump and Vance.
Oh, we handed him a campaign ad.
Yeah.
We absolutely handed him a campaign ad. And on top of that, the thing that I think is important, that he went down there and people thought he was Joe Biden. Nobody knew who he was. And I think that really is problems, because the Harris campaign is really betting right now on Obama and Clinton. And that's what they keep saying. We're going to overdrive with Obama and Clinton. And you send Clinton down there. One, he stumbles into a mistake that gives Trump a campaign ad. And two, nobody knows who he is. You've now neutralized one of what the Harris campaign thinks is one of their big guns. And that's a real worry for them.
You know, when I was checking out the audio from Bill Clinton, before I listened to the audio, it was on the ex formerly Twitter, and I saw him, and honest to God, Jeff, I didn't know who it was. It took me a second. Then the voice, you can hear he was laboring with his voice, but wow, I hadn't seen Bill Clinton in a while in that setting, and he seemed a little unstable in a Joe Biden way, if you will, with his age. So on the White House front right now, you know, one question for you is, and this keeps coming up, and I find it hilarious. I'm going to highlight this here in a few minutes, the way that the press is really pressing here with Trump and J.D. Vance. They didn't really want to ask any of those questions when Biden was on his last legs and should not have been running the show in the White House. So I guess the question now is, who's running the show in the White House? We're seeing him out there a little bit. He actually plays into the Republicans' hands last week because he tosses a pretty big compliment to Ron DeSantis when his vice president is ripping Ron DeSantis, and DeSantis kind of smoked her. So who is running the show right now? Are they not worried about that, Jeff? It's all about the campaign.
They're not worried about that. It's all about the campaign. I mean, the question has been asked repeatedly to this White House. Who is running the show? They say Joe Biden. You ask the question, a missile's coming to America at 3 a.m. Who handles it? The answer is the president has a team. That doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, but that is the answer to your question. So it's a team. It's people. It's, you know, wonks and political science majors and all of them who are really running the country. But I want to go back to what you're saying about him, about the President Biden throwing Harris under the bus when it comes to Ron DeSantis. That's the latest in a series of actions we've seen from Joe Biden that have really undermined the Harris campaign. She's supposed to go on in Michigan. He makes his first appearance ever in the White House briefing room. She's supposed to go on The View to announce one of her major policy initiatives to attract independent voters. He goes on at the same time to talk about the hurricane from the Roosevelt Room. It seems lately, and I'm guessing this has to be his frustration that the Democrats, and in particular the Harris campaign, has sort of brushed him off and died. And he was on after midnight at the Democratic convention. I have to believe all this is his frustration boiling over. But it's really something to see how much he has tried to overshadow the Harris campaign in the last couple of weeks.
Well, and some of that reporting is from Axios, right? So it's not like there's a conservative outlet that's alleging these things, but there does seem to be a little, I don't know if it's sabotage or not. That seems rather extreme to use that word, but people are noticing, suffice it to say.
People are noticing, and it may not be sabotage. There may be something, you know, it may just be frustration boiling over, but it's certainly, you know, he controls the time. One of the things I thought was interesting was she canceled all the stuff in Las Vegas about 2 weeks ago to fly back to do the FEMA briefing after Hurricane Helene. And, you know, she rearranges her schedule, does all this stuff, flies into FEMA, and then has to stand there and sit there and wait for 10 minutes so Joe Biden can give his briefing from the White House. And after you have the President of the United States standing at the podium with the presidential seal and the White House and all the trappings of that, for her to come on and then try to compete with that, you're not going to be able to. And yeah. I thought that really almost, it really overshadowed, the moment really overshadowed her.
Yeah, it was awkward.
It's awkward and it's hard to follow. It's why I don't like rebuttals to State of the Unions. I think you're always destined to fail with them because you're trying to compete with the President of the United States standing before Congress and the trappings of that. And it's the same situation here.
Jeff Murdoch, 3 weeks from tomorrow, we're getting closer here to Election Day if people can actually get out and vote in some of these states. Appreciate your help again this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
The media and their questions have taken an interesting turn as well. I have some real-life examples from the Sunday morning shows coming up next. You know, a story I saw yesterday, Sue, that is not getting a lot of attention, but certainly it will resonate with you and me and Fred and anyone really who works in our building or anyone who works downtown. Now, I know those numbers have dwindled, but you see what happened early yesterday right here down by Stiefel?
No.
There was somebody that was run over and they went through. Well, someone was killed. This is the irony of it. Ran through a red light at 14th and Market. The person who ran through the red light crashed into another car. The person who was driving the other car is okay, but one of the women in the car that blew the red light is dead. Oh. It happened after 1 a.m., they say, at the intersection of Market and 14th Street, right next to the Stiefel Theater. This, by the way, has been an intersection that I have highlighted for 3 years now on this show as being dangerous, not only because of traffic, but because that's where people get shot by the homeless folks. Now, they've cleared the homeless folks out, but there was someone who was killed in that particular location about 8 months ago. In this situation, what I said on Twitter yesterday, soon, I think you would, you know, agree. This is the way I put it. When I leave work here at 6 o'clock, okay, I take 14th Street to Shoto. I take a right on Shoto, and then I take a left on, what would that be, Lafayette. And I go down to get to, not Lafayette, what would that be right there?
Where are you?
I go past Enterprise. I go to Shoto, right where the dilapidated, you know, gas station is that now is, I think, permanently closed down. And then I go on Shoto and take a left and get to the highway that way.
Yeah,
what the hell is the damn street?
Park
by Ameren. Yeah. So my point is, there's never a time in the last probably couple of years that I've taken that trip and assumed that because I'm approaching a green light that someone will not come through a red light. Because I've seen it happen too many times.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over again, people run through these lights. And by the way, this happened at 1:30 in the morning. They do it at 1:30 in the afternoon. So it was not, sadly, shocking to me. It's very ironic that the person who blew the light is, you know, the car that had someone die. But that's what happens when you have no police presence downtown and people think there's no consequences. It's exactly what happens. And it's going to happen more on a regular basis because people know there's no consequences. So they run through these red lights and they don't think that they're going to get in trouble. And maybe this will resonate with somebody because somebody died in this particular situation. All right. The media is approaching this presidential ticket now in a very unique way. They're panicking. They're completely panicking. And you can hear it in their voices. I'm going to play you a few examples here because Martha Raddatz, and Martha's been one on ABC that has had at least the ability to ask the Harris team some tougher questions. And I've never had a big problem with Martha Raddatz as being like a biased reporter. But I think in this particular situation, the topic was, and we saw this video, I don't know, I think maybe 6 to 7 weeks ago, Sue. You remember Fox and other organizations were showing these Venezuelan mobs that have infiltrated these apartment complexes
Aurora,
Colorado. Right. It's not made up, right? You have video from the apartment, security video, that show horrifying things from these Venezuelan gangs. Well, Martha Raddatz and ABC decided, you know what? That's you guys are making way too much of people with guns banging down the doors of other residents. So listen to where this goes with J.D. Vance.
And what we're hearing, of course, Martha, is that people are terrified by what has happened with some of these Venezuelan gangs.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened.
Martha.
I'm going to stop you. The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complex, apartment complexes.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Yeah. Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border.
Put yourself in that situation. Thank you, J.D. Vance is right. Martha Raddatz decides to interject her opinion of this by saying, look, we spoke to the mayor and they said that this was exaggerated. Well, J.D. Vance's point was, what happened? Okay, you're going to minimize what happened to these people when they were brutalized by these gangs. There is such a misunderstanding, a fundamental misunderstanding of the left in this country. And those of you who have friends that are on the left, or maybe you are on the left, you don't understand how this immigration issue is resonating with the American people. We are being invaded, and we don't like it. No other country on the planet would allow it to happen, and we don't want it to happen in this country. That's not bigoted. That's not racist. That's not xenophobic, because Black people and Hispanic people feel the same way. They went through the process. They became citizens legally, many Hispanics. They took the oath of office, or not the oath of office, the oath of citizenship at Busch Stadium a few weeks ago. We have been invaded. And you got people on, even some that are, you know, the Trump, the never Trumpers on the right, saying, oh, this is horrifying language. They're playing into the worst instincts of the American people. No, they're playing into the instincts of the American people that feel like our country is not ours anymore, right?
Yeah.
So I got to hand it to Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, because here's a guy I've never really had too strong of an opinion on. He kind of gets into that, you know, McCarthy gets out, Mike Johnson's the guy, they immediately almost start talking about getting rid of him because he's not doing some of the things on spending that the more conservative members of Congress, Matt Gaetz, et cetera, feel. And he hasn't really played a major role in this presidential campaign, but he was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday, and I thought he handled himself extremely well. This is on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker.
Kamala Harris's numbers are dropping in the polls, and she just said in her own words, you saw the tape there, there is no difference between her and Joe Biden. The Biden policies, yeah. Bidenomics, all the things they champion are destroying the country, and everybody knows that.
So I think that Mike Johnson is right, but what you're going to hear here, and this is what you heard from Martha Raddatz, Kristen Welker, it's almost like the talking points go across to Meet the Press and George Stephanopoulos and everyone, except for Fox, of course. You know, Shannon's not getting the talking points that everyone else is. They're like, look, we got a problem here because this election looks like it's getting away from us. And one of the greatest lines, and I'll see if I can pull this, Sue, one of the greatest lines from the Saturday Night Live bit the other night was they kind of took a jab at Kamala in a way that I think that many Democrats feel, look, this guy, he's a horrible, reprehensible human being. He's a threat to democracy. He's all these things. And you're about to lose to him, right? How do you feel about that, right? How do you feel about, this is what I love with Jane, too. They have so much TDS out there that they can't see straight, and they don't understand that their candidate, and I think they do, because they just wanted Biden out, not because they wanted somebody else, but they knew he was going to lose to Trump, right? So Mike Johnson keeps going on here with Kristen Welker. She tries to push, but he doesn't. Excellent job.
That's why Donald Trump elected. Republicans are going to win the Senate and the House.
Mr. Speaker, we should note that FEMA funds were actually redirected on Donald Trump's watch to deal with the migrant issue. Let me ask you, you mentioned the medical.
No, ma'am.
Okay, so he's not having any of it. Good. This is what they do. They try to fact check only Trump. They never fact check the other side, and then they try to move on. He had nothing of it.
Wait a minute. Facts are important. That is a new program that started in 2020 under Joe Biden. That funding wasn't necessary under Trump's administration because we secured the border. We didn't invite illegal aliens and dangerous people into the country. That's a Biden-Harris policy, and everybody knows it.
Mr. Yes. Speaker, it did happen under Donald Trump's watch, but let me just ask you.
She tries again. She tries again, and he's telling her that no.
No, we didn't. No, Kristen,
should Donald Trump release all of his medical records?
That is a brand new account.
Should Donald Trump release all of his medical records?
He has.
Now, this is where it gets real interesting. This is what I love. I don't know if I missed something on Friday. I left Thursday at 6:00. I'm away for the weekend. This is going to make you laugh out loud. If you're drinking something, some coffee in the afternoon, some Diet Coke like I do, it might spit out your nose. Because listen to the case that she tries to make. All of a sudden, and this is why I said maybe I missed something, they're trying to hammer Trump on releasing medical records? Who the F cares? Listen to what she tries to make it about, and Johnson spikes the ball exceptionally well here.
He issued the records of his physicians. Kamala Harris issued her medical records as a diversion because she's desperate because she's sinking in the polls. Donald Trump's health is on display. Everyone in America can see it. The man works nonstop. He never quits. He probably sleeps 4 hours a night.
You know, we had a guy, legend here in St. Louis, Bob Hyland. I never met Mr. Hyland. Rand Kamowicz was the vice president of CBS, but a lot of these high-functioning individuals, Hyland was in his office at like 4:30. He only slept 3-4 hours a night. Some people are like that. Trump is absolutely like that. So what Mike Johnson's saying is accurate.
He doesn't require as much sleep as the average person. He's an unusual figure. And this is the strength that we need in a time like this. We're in the most dangerous moment since World War II. You have to have strength. You have to have a steady hand. You have to have a commander-in-chief that our allies respect and our enemies fear. They do not fear Kamala Harris.
All right, so that was pretty good for Mike.
Yeah, really good.
But Kristen Welker can't get away from it. She can't get away. She's worried about President Trump's health, Sue. That's what it's all about.
Do fear Donald Trump.
Mr. Speaker,
that's what people are going to vote on.
Just be very clear. He hasn't released all of his medical records. He released two letters. Should he release the results of the cognitive test?
It's unnecessary. He's on display every minute.
So it's unnecessary. You can see that he didn't release his medical records. You don't want to know things like his cholesterol level, whether he's dealing with any issue that we may not know about if he's going to be commander-in-chief.
Wait for
and
it.
He also said he would relieve cognitive tests.
Kristen, listen to your question.
Yeah, wait for it.
Should he release that?
The American people... Kristen, the American people don't care about the cholesterol level of Donald Trump. They care about the cost of living and the fact they cannot pay for groceries because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies have put them in that situation.
I mean, he was holding back laughter. He wanted to laugh at Chris. I was laughing at Kristen Welker. How embarrassing is this? I mean, journalistic malpractice has been something that I have highlighted for my entire career as a talk radio host. But I never, ever thought it would be on steroids the way that it is right now. But you have examples of ABC and Martha Raddatz from yesterday morning. You got Kristen Welker doing the same thing. They cannot help themselves because they're panicked right now. You could hear it in their voices. They see these polls. They know that the Harris campaign is floundering and struggling. Now, I'm not going to call the election right now because that would be a mistake because we know that this is going to be close. But some things are cratering right now. And I think that there is an acknowledgement of it in some of the mainstream legacy media. And they're trying to do everything they can to try to fight back. But by going down a line of questioning with the Speaker of the House and trying to point out that Donald Trump has not released his cholesterol levels, when people can't afford to go to the grocery store, they can't get into a house, the American dream has kind of died along. Talk about tone deafness from this administration and from the legacy media. It's really something. It really is. And we'll continue to highlight that for the next 3 weeks. Coming up here at the top of the hour, Sue's going to have Sue's News. When we come back, I think I'm going to do the Bill Maher audio this afternoon because I had a couple of different directions.
Oh, good.
But he... And this is related to Chappell Roan, the singer who has become somewhat of a sensation. I think she was on Saturday Night Live the opening weekend a few weeks ago. Or if she wasn't, she's going to be on the show because they always try to, you know, dial into the hot thing. But what Mr. Maher did on his show related to Israel and Chappell Roan is really, I said this yesterday when I tweeted it out, must-see TV. We'll get to that in the next hour. Plus, Cusimano, Andy Puzder at 5:07, former State Senator John Lamping. We're going to focus in on a state Senate race in the 15th District. David Gregory is the Republican in that race. We'll also cover the presidential stuff with John and an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.